All today.
We're launching into hour number three of the program. You can take control of the airwaves via the toll-free number at 1-800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line for you. That's 800-259-9231, and it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us online. FreeTalkLive.com is the place to go. The features on the site are for free, so you can enjoy those on us. That, again, is FreeTalkLive.com. Let's talk about Somalia. Now, there's an article over at Mises.org by Spencer Heath McCallum about Somalia and about some of the changes they've gone through over the past couple of decades, some of the very positive changes since the destruction of their government, as well as the ZIR system, which is sort of their system of interacting from clan to clan, person to person. It's kind of like their system of law. But not really law in the way that you normally think of it. It's very interesting. And I don't know how much of this we're going to be able to get into. In fact, what I might decide to do is break it up into maybe four parts, and we'll spread it out over several days or something like that, because it's that in-depth. And I think that important as well. Because, well, as you may know, back in the mid-1990s, Somalia, or early to mid-1990s, Somalia sort of lost its government. It was displaced and overthrown. And it never really has had one since. So it's now been over a decade since it hasn't really had a central government to speak of.
And it's got these warlords kind of looking to take over, but right. none of them can gain enough power.
This article at Mises.org explains the warlord aspect. But first it starts out by talking about some of the interesting changes, some of the very positive things that have happened in Somalia over the last 5 years. So we'll just get started here, and you're welcome to call in, comment, bring up whatever you want, as always. But I think this is instructive and interesting because it shows that in the absence of a government, you don't necessarily have chaos, which is what they teach you in government school. They teach you that, well, without a government, everything would be hell. It would be chaotic. There'd be killing in the streets, and it would be terrible. Well, anyway, Spencer writes, were there such a category, Somalia would hold a place in the Guinness World Records as a country with the longest absence of a functioning central government. When the Somalis dismantled their government in 1991 and returned to their pre-colonial political status, the expectation was that chaos would result. And that, of course, would be the politically correct thing to expect to happen. But imagine if it were otherwise. Imagine any part of the globe not being dominated by a central government and the people there surviving, even prospering. If such were to happen, and the idea actually spread to other parts of Africa or other parts of the world, the mystique of the necessity of the state might be irreparably damaged, and many politicians and bureaucrats might find themselves walking about looking for work. If the expectation was that Somalia would plunge into an abyss of chaos, what is the reality? A number of recent studies address this question, including one by economist Peter Leeson, drawing on statistical data from the United Nations Development Project, World Bank, CIA, and World Health Organization, certainly organizations that have a strong interest in having governments around. Comparing the last 5 years under the central government, so from 1985 to 1990, the last 5 years they had a government, with the most recent 5 years of anarchy from 2000 to 2005. Here is what they found. Life expectancy in Somalia has increased from 46 to 48.5 years.
They don't live very long, do they?
It's not a utopia over there. But the point is, things are getting better, not worse. This is a poor expectancy as compared with developed countries. But in any measurement of welfare, what is important to observe is not where a population stands at a given time, but what is the trend. Is the trend positive, or is it the reverse? Number of one-year-olds fully immunized against measles rose from 30 to 40%. Number of physicians per 100,000 population rose from 3.4 to 4. Number of infants with low birth weight, probably a severe problem in Africa,
I would imagine,
fell from 16 per 1,000 to 0.3 per 1,000, which is statistically almost nothing. Infant mortality per 1,000 births fell from 152 to 114.9. Maternal mortality, where mom dies, per 100,000 births fell from 1,600 to 1,100. Percent of the population with access to sanitation rose from 18 to 26%. Percent of the population with access to at least one health facility rose from 28% to 54.8%.
It's pretty significant.
Percent of population in extreme poverty i.e. less than a dollar per day, fell from 60% to 43.2%. Radios per 1,000 population, this is huge, rose from 4 to 98.5. Telephones per 1,000 population rose from 1.9 to 14.9. And we've talked in other articles about Somalia about how cell phone companies have been popping up all over the place. And
they have more TVs than they have radio stations? Radios? People have more televisions than radios in Somalia?
No, I haven't gotten to the TV.
I thought you just...
That was telephones.
Telephones
per 1,000. Gotcha. It used to be 1.9.
They still have...
It's now 14.9.
Still more telephones than radios. That's hard to believe. I mean, radios are...
Radios is 98.5 per 1,000.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm getting...
Far more radios. But my point was that the phone companies in Somalia, since they are not regulated by the government anymore, they're popping up everywhere. The competition is incredible. In fact, they talk about the cell phones here in a moment. But the getting your phone line installed, you can get your phone line installed and turned on quicker in Somalia than you can get it turned on here in America.
Well, it's probably because there's no regulations on the phone companies. They don't have monopolies, so therefore they have to actually compete.
Competition. TVs per 1,000 population rose from 1.2 to 3.7. Fatalities due to measles fell from 8,000 to 5,600. Another even more comprehensive study published last year by Benjamin Powell of the Independent Institute concludes, quote, We find that Somalia's living standards have improved generally, not just in absolute terms, but also relative to other African countries since the collapse of the Somali central government. Because it wouldn't be fair to just look at Somalia and say, well, look, they're living better, when every other country in Africa is also living better. That wouldn't be fair. But the fact is, Somalia is living much, much better than the rest of Africa. Somalia's pastoral economy, or at least the surrounding areas in Africa, pastoral economy is now stronger than that of either neighboring Kenya or Ethiopia. It's the largest exporter of livestock of any East African country. Telecommunications have burgeoned in Somalia. A call from a mobile phone is cheaper in Somalia than anywhere else in Africa. A small number of international investors are finding that the level of security of property and contract in Somalia warrants doing business there. Among those companies are Dole, the BBC, DHL, British Airways, General Motors, and Coca-Cola, which recently opened a large bottling plant in Mogadishu.
Mm.
A five-star, so big companies coming in, starting to do business there. Why do you think that is?
I guess it's worth their time.
They see things are happening. They see that they can get in there without having to ask any bureaucrats for permission to jump through all the...
No, you don't need a building permit if there's no central government.
Right. Normally in the third world, the reason why third world countries are the way they are isn't because their people are dumb. It's because they're ruled by dictators. They're ruled by two-bit dictators who want every single thing, every single decision to pass through their hands.
It's not really the decisions they care so much about. It's the money. If Coca-Cola is going to build a plant in Somalia and it's ruled by a two-bit dictator, that guy wants the payoff. Mm-hmm. He says, there's a big company coming in here to make money off of my people? Well, I need a big old check.
Yep. And in many of these countries, they have incredibly bureaucratic requirements just to simply open the business. So before you can even lace them with a bunch of cash, you have to fill out all kinds of forms and get approvals, and it's just a nightmare. A five-star Ambassador Hotel is operating in Hargeisa, and three new universities are fully functional. Amud University, which opened in 1997, Mogadishu University in 1997, and the University of Benadir opened in 2002. These they didn't have before.
Hmm.
The call to establish democracy. Well, all of this is terribly politically incorrect for the reason I suggested. Consequently, the United Nations has by now spent well over $2 billion, most of it American dollars because the U.S. funds the U.N. tremendously, attempting to reestablish a central government in Somalia. Now, do you think the United Nations is trying to bring back a central government in Somalia because they care about the Somali people and they're worried that with all this chaos around, people are going to die and starve? And is that why they're trying to bring a central government back?
I think they thoroughly believe in government.
You bet they do.
And
they believe in government. They don't want Somalia to prove that government is not necessary, which is what they've been proving for a while now.
I don't know if it's quite that despicable. I think they're just, we've got to have a government. We have to have a government for these poor people.
These are the big government people. These are the ones, the people in the UN are the biggest of big government people. And I think they know exactly what they're doing. 800-259-9231, because all you need is that one government-free area to prove to the rest of the world that this whole government thing, it's a farce. More on the way. This is your show. It is Free Talk Live. We'll be right back. Would you like to get involved with pro-liberty causes but just can't find the time? Let us spread the word about freedom for you. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier now for just $3 a month, and you'll help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations and more MP3 players. That means more new people coming across the message of freedom every day. Other pro-liberty organizations just seem to gobble up contributions and make very little progress. AMP actually works. For all the details, visit amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com.
One day soon, the U.S. dollar, otherwise known as the Federal Reserve Note, will be recognized in the global marketplace for its intrinsic value. Nothing. On that day, you will be bewildered, angry, and impoverished, or you will be calm, confident, and prosperous. The deciding factor between your two possible futures is what you do in this moment. Go to D2Z.org and learn how to survive and thrive during the U.S. dollar crisis. D2Z.org.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve Note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
I need to do something about my dry heels. After a pedicure, they look great. Then I have to go right back again because my feet get dry so quickly.
Haven't you heard about Calex ointment? I use it regularly on my heels and they stay looking great. And my feet feel as good as they look.
What's that name again? Wait, I'm getting my pen out.
It's Calex. C-A-L-L-E-X.
What makes Calex ointment so different?
It's got these natural enzymes that quickly exfoliate dry, cracked feet and leave your feet feeling soft and smooth, just like a baby's bottom.
For soft, smooth heels and feet, use enzyme-rich, moisturizing Calex ointment. It's diabetic-friendly and found in the foot care section of Walgreens, Long's, Snyder's Drug, Bilo, Card Drug, HEB grocery stores, medicine shop pharmacies, and Rite Aid.
Hey, here's a drugstore. I'll be right back. I'm getting some Calex for my heels.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network, and I have an urgent message for our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following two free reports. U.S. debt bubble red alert and real estate crash. Call 888-8-XANADU. That's 1-888-8-XANADU. Ask for George.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
The show is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything at 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Mark, join us online. FreeTalkLive.com, the place to go, the features for free. We've got updates. You get signed up, we'll keep you in the loop. Whenever there's something fresh to announce about the show, you'll know first. If you're on the updates list, you can get on it by going to updates.freetalklive.com. That's updates.freetalklive.com.
If you're looking at getting a new mattress, try the Savvy Rest mattress. They're made of natural latex rubber, organic wool, and organic cotton. And they're darn comfy. Ian, you have one.
I have been enjoying mine, yes.
Yes, they're very nice. So we both have one. We recommend them. That's SavvyRest.com. SavvyRest.com.
All right. It is for the sleep you've been dreaming of, by
That's
the way.
Right. 800-259-9231.
We're talking about Somalia, a country you're not going to hear very much about in your government school textbooks. You might hear, something about there was some American troops that went in there back in the early 1990s, but that's about all you're going to hear. Maybe you'll hear that there are warlords and there's chaos and anarchy and terrible things happening there, but maybe you're not being told the whole truth. According to Mises.org and the information here, things have been getting a lot better in Somalia ever since the government went away in 1991. They did some comparisons between 1985 to 1990 and 2000 to 2005 and found that all over the board, things are, seem to be getting better in Somalia.
Things are getting better in Somalia, and there's no government.
And there's no government around. Businesses are blooming. People are living longer. People are living healthier. They've got access, more access to sanitation and other things. And, of course, you're inevitably going to ask yourself, well, what about the criminals? What about courts? What about justice? Well, we may get to that. If we don't do it tonight, we'll definitely touch on it within the next day or so. But first, let's talk about the United Nations and how it is that the United Nations has a real hard-on, for lack of a better term, to bring government back to Somalia. In fact, they've spent over $2 billion attempting to reestablish a central government in Somalia over the last decade and a half. But here's the irony. It's the presence of the United Nations that has caused virtually all of the turbulence that we have seen in Somalia. Let me explain why this is the case. Like most of pre-colonial Africa, Somalia is traditionally a stateless society. When the colonial powers withdrew, in order to better serve their purposes, they hastily trained local people and set up a European-style government in their place.
Mm-hmm.
These were supposed to be democratic, but they soon devolved into brutal dictatorships. Democracy is unworkable in Africa for several reasons. The first thing that voting does is to divide a population into two groups, the group that rules and a group that is ruled. That's what democracy is all about, right? This is completely at variance with Somali tradition. Second, if democracy is to work, it depends, in theory at least, upon a populace that will vote on issues. But in a kinship society such
right.
as Somalia,
in all of Africa and of a great deal of the world, it's tribally based.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when white people come along and draw lines in the sand and say, your people are going to live together.
You're doing it wrong. In a kinship society, as in Somalia, voting takes place not on the merit of the issues, but along group lines.
Yep.
One votes according to one's clan affiliation. Since the ethic of kinship requires loyalty to one's fellow clansmen, the winners use the power of government to benefit their own members, which means exploitation of the members of other clans. It's reward your friends and punish your enemies, just like any other government.
But writ large.
Consequently, when there exists a governmental apparatus with its awesome powers of taxation and police and judicial monopoly, the interests of the clans conflict. Some clan will control that apparatus. To avoid being exploited by other clans, each clan must attempt to be that controlling clan. So this is exactly what we have going on here in America, except we don't have the clans.
And people
here
vote on issues to some extent in America.
Well, here in America, it's the issue interest groups that are trying to control one another. You've got, the Christians that want to put the Bible in schools. You've got some people that want to put sexual education in schools. And it's the same thing, except it's just not clan-based. It's issue-based groups. Different groups are trying to control the violent apparatus of the state. The turmoil in Somalia consists in the clans maneuvering to position themselves to control the government whenever it might come into being. And this has been exacerbated by the government of the world, especially the United States, keeping alive the expectation that a government will soon be established and supplying arms to whoever seems at present most likely to be able to bring democracy to Somalia. The warlord phenomenon we hear so much about refers to clan and independent militias, often including leftovers of the former central government, who promise to establish a government under the control of their own clan. They often operate outside of the control of the traditional elders and sometimes in opposition to them. So the warlords and the violence that you have in Somalia exists because they're expecting the United Nations to be successful in re-implanting a government to the state, to Somalia. And so they're fighting over being the anointed clan, basically, is what's going on. Hence, the most violent years in Somalia were the years following 1991, when the United Nations was physically present, attempting to impose a central government. When the United Nations finally withdrew in 1995, the expectation of a future central government began to recede, and things began to stabilize. But the United Nations continued its efforts to reestablish a government through a series of some 16 failed peace conferences. In 2000, it set up a straw government, the Transitional National Government, or TNG. However, not only did the northern Somali clans not recognize the TNG, it was unable to control its intended capital city of Mogadishu. Today, a combined peacekeeping mission of the United States-backed troops from Ethiopia, Somalia's traditional enemy, and Uganda under the aegis of, of the African Union is in Mogadishu attempting to prop up the TNG and secure its control over the rest of Somalia. As a result, violence is soaring. The situation is curiously like an event in Greek mythology. The gods on Mount Olympus were enjoying a festive party, to which, understandably, they had not invited Eris, the goddess of discord. Eris, just as understandably, took the matter personally. She had the blacksmith fashion a golden apple on which was written, "To the fairest." Then she opened a door, a crack, and rolled the golden apple into the festive hall. In no time at all, the gods were fighting over who should have the apple. The golden apple in Somalia is the expectation that there will soon be a central government. As long as there is that expectation, the clans must fight over who will control it. So the point being that if the United Nations would just butt out, and the U.S. would just butt out, and leave Somalia alone and stop trying to impose a government on these people, which they clearly don't want. The TNG has tried it 16 times, and it's been rebuffed every single time. If they would just leave these people alone, they'd get along just fine.
They seem to be doing okay by themselves. I don't know why it is that I don't know why the United States is so concerned about other governments anyway. Isn't this government here supposed to protect us from foreign invaders and on a local level protect us from criminals? Isn't that really what they're supposed to do? I don't see why they're trying to set up governments around the world.
Oh, you must have missed that paragraph in the Constitution, Mark.
It's not in the Constitution, I can assure you.
Oh, it's not? You mean it doesn't say that America exists to spread democracy around the world?
Policemen of the world, no.
Huh.
Sorry.
America exists to reestablish governments in countries that don't want them?
No, it doesn't say anything about politicians having grandiose ideas that they can, simply because they've been elected to American government, that they can in fact rule the world. No, it doesn't say that crap.
So the inevitable question is still, how does the whole rule of law thing work in Somalia? I mean, is there law? How could they get along without a government? They've been doing it for almost 15 years at this point, more than 15 years. How can they? How do they work that out? Well, it's not hard to say. All you have to do is do a little research into the ZIR, which we might talk about here, or we'll take your calls about whatever you want. 800-259-9231. It's kind of instructive as to what might, you know, what we might be able to do here in the absence of a government. This is Free Talk Live.
Tired of looking at those same old kitchen cabinets? Now you can update your kitchen with custom cabinet refacing from Sears. Your kitchen can look like new again in about 4 to 6 days without the cost, time, or mess of total remodeling. Call 1-800-300-8069 for a free design consultation. Call right now and ask about our special financing terms. Sears offers over 100 door and drawer combinations to suit any budget and style. And best of all, with Sears, your satisfaction is guaranteed. So call now for a great new look for your kitchen. Call Sears at 1-800-300-8069. Offer ends 9/30/07. Subject to applicant credit worthiness. License number available on request. Not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. Isn't it time to give your kitchen a whole new look? Call 1-800-300-8069. Ask about our special financing terms. Don't wait any longer to make your kitchen cabinets like new with Sears custom cabinet refacing. Call today at 1-800-300-8069.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
You may not think of yourself as being affluent. You may not think of yourself as a high net worth investor. But it doesn't matter what kind of car you drive or the home you live in. If your investments are $500,000 or more, you're a high net worth investor. And one thing we know about you is that there are 8 common mistakes high net worth investors can make without even knowing it. We're Fisher Investments, and we've put together a special free report just for you. It's called The 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them. It's yours free just for calling 1-800-955-1173. Just avoiding any one of these mistakes could help you better reach your goals now and over time. As your portfolio grows and changes, strategies need to grow and change. That's why this is valuable information you must see. For your free copy of The 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them, pick up the phone now. Call 1-800-955-1173. That's 1-800-955-1173.
The disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 24, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, disease, and earthquakes in many places." We are living in this time of Earth's history. Many people are trying to understand the climactic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. 2 Peter says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, and you do well if you take heed. But first know this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." The Bible says, "We'd like you to receive this new offer, Packet B, The Unholy Alliance." These materials document the global leaders, political and religious, behind the scenes. You will receive information regarding America and prophecy, tyrants and wars, the New World Order, and much more. As always, these materials are shipped to you at no charge. Please call 1-888-211-1715. That's 1-888-211-1715. And ask for Packet B.
How would you like to have a tool to use at home that you can use anytime that helps reduce back pain, sciatica, hip pain, and more? A tool that helps relieve the pain and doesn't just treat the symptoms. You need the Sacrowedgie Sacral Stabilizer. One satisfied user states, "I don't believe in gadgets, but this is a miracle." Yes, that's right. Just relax 20 minutes daily or when needed to help correct a muscle imbalance that creates many of these symptoms. Gravity does the work with a Sacrowedgie under the sacrum and support under your neck. Help correct posture to help relieve the pain. Better balance equals fewer problems. You can even sit on the Sacrowedgie at the computer or while traveling. This device has been helping people for the past 15 years, yet the cost is still just $29.95. Finally, something available that really relieves those stubborn aches and pains. Call 1-800-737-9295 for a free brochure or visit the website at sacrowedgie.com. sacrowedgy.com. That's sacrowedgy.com. Or call 1-800-737-9295 today.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live, and it is your show, and you can bring up anything via the toll-free number at 1-800-259-9231, the Sickles CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us online, freetalklive.com. The wiki's there, over 1,400 pages created by listeners just like you. You can go and edit the wiki to your heart's content. It is like the listener editable version of our website. Go to wiki.freetalklive.com to get interactive, wiki.freetalklive.com. And if you or perhaps someone you know needs a primer on some of the subjects we talk about on Free Talk Live, you should check out Liberty Radio Underground. It's an elementary introduction to libertarianism, and each show concisely handles a single topic in less than 10 minutes. It's great for someone who is new to liberty, so go to libertyradiounderground.com today and grab an episode. It's free. That's libertyradiounderground.com. I actually did get a chance to listen to one of their episodes, and it made me want to listen to another one.
Yeah, I know. I did the same thing. I listened to one. Oh, I need to listen to another one of these.
We may talk about here in a moment a little bit more about Vizier, the Somalia's customary law, and how their system, this tribal-based customary law system, may actually be far more civilized than what we have in this country. But first, let's go to the phones, because you can bring up anything. And we've got Dave on the line in New Hampshire. Dave, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to kind of update you on the, you know, what I witnessed today in relation to the whole Ed Brown situation.
You're talking about the four Ed Brown supporters that were arrested yesterday?
Correct.
Okay. What happened?
Yes. We went over to the federal building in Concord today to demonstrate because it turned out that two of the four were already going to be arraigned today and did end up getting arraigned at Concord.
But weren't they arrested in Texas? Different places across the country. Why did they bring them to Concord for this?
I don't know. I don't really know all about how they work, but I'm just assuming that they're figuring that they believe a crime was committed in New Hampshire, therefore they're going to prosecute them in New Hampshire, so they're dragging them all here.
That's interesting, because I thought it was a federal thing. I mean, they've got federal courts everywhere.
It is federal, so I don't know why they would necessarily do it here, but they're doing it here. They've already dragged two of them here. They're going to drag two more over the next few days.
Obviously, they didn't know that you were going to show up, Dave. What happened?
Well, no, I said they expected demonstrators, but, we pushed nine demonstrators, out in front of the courthouse today, on pretty short notice, so that was, that was
excellent.
A pretty good number. I just think it was important that they not be able to do this completely in the dark.
Sure.
And I didn't actually go into the court hearing because I scheduled a different demonstration in a different part of the state in Manchester. But it was interesting to see, they certainly were very interested in the fact that there were any demonstrators at all outside. I mean, they were all sort of poking their heads outside, pretending not to watch.
So did anything else noteworthy happen?
I shot a video of what we did, but I couldn't figure out a way to explain on the air how to view the video. I just stuck it up on YouTube today. We were just pretty much out there all day. We got a lot of negative and positive feedback from drivers. I would say we just got more feedback overall because most people, know who Ed Brown is now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ed Brown, of course, for those just tuning in or who don't know, he is currently holed up in his house in Plainfield, New Hampshire, as the feds are attempting to, they're trying to convince him to turn himself in so he can go sit in jail for 5 years.
For the rest of his life, essentially.
He's a man in his 60s, and the reason why they want to put him in jail is because he decided he wanted to keep all the money he earned and decide for himself how to spend it instead of turning it over to federal bureaucrats. And so I support Ed Brown. I don't necessarily agree with everything the guy says, but I support his right to keep the money he earned. He has not harmed anyone. And the idea that Ed Brown should be a criminal is very absurd to me. So what's the next step here, Dave? What are you guys doing next?
It's just important, I think, stepping back just a little bit. If you think about it, first they're going to come for Ed. Then they start coming for his more controversial supporters. Then they'll come for his less controversial supporters, perhaps. And then they come for you. So,
sure.
You meaning you, the audience member. So it's important to draw that line here and to take a stand as best we can for each person they try to come after.
Very good. Dave, keep up the good work. What's coming next?
I don't know. I just we'll be focused on today, and I'm really not sure what we should do next. But there is a big concert at the Browns' house on Saturday.
Starts at noon, right?
I beg your pardon?
Doesn't that start at noon?
I'm not sure what time it starts.
Where can people go to get more information on that?
You can Google it. I would just, I know there's stuff on nhfree.com. I guess it's calendar.nhfree.com.
Yeah, that's a good place to go. Calendar.nhfree.com. Very good, Dave. Any final thoughts?
If there's a good turnout for that, I think that would be one way to sort of remind Washington that they're not succeeding in scaring people.
That's what they're trying to do. They want to scare away Ed Brown's supporters, and I don't think they're going to be successful. Are you planning on going to the concert?
I'm not allowed on Ed Brown's property. He won't let me in. He thinks I'm too peaceful.
Oh. Well, I'm sure we'll hear from somebody. That's why I say he's kind of a kooky old guy, but, that's his life. It's his property. He can set whatever rules he wants to on it.
Yeah, just wait until we've got an Ed Brown who is actually welcoming of supporters and nice to his supporters. He's going to get 10 times as much support. And Ed Brown still gets a lot of support for all his crankiness.
You're right. Dave, thanks for the call, dude. We appreciate it. 800-259-9231.
It's amazing how people are really getting behind Ed Brown, and it wouldn't have happened without the internet.
It absolutely wouldn't, and the Free State Project's been pretty helpful too. Some of the Free Staters have really
wouldn't
have
happened without the internet.
Big supporters. You're right. Somalia, talking about the Zir, talking about the people in Somalia not having a government around to speak of. In fact, they haven't had one since 1991 when they threw theirs off. The UN has been trying and trying to re-implement a government, and the Somali people, they don't want anything to do with it. And so they keep rebuffing the UN, and they keep trying to bring a government around, and that's what's causing all the tumult over there, in that there are certain interest groups that would like to be in charge of a government, should one actually come back, that are fighting with one another over who will get to be in charge of that government. But in the meantime, the Somali people are basically saying, wait a minute, why do you want to keep giving us this government? We don't want a government. Because what they have in common, according to Mises.org, even more than similar language, lifestyle, and physical character, is a body of customary law, the Zir, spelled X-E-E-R.
Okay.
which differs from clan to clan in non-essential ways, such as founding myths, but is remarkably uniform with respect to its provision for the protection of persons and property. The Zir provides a rule of law, customary law, that is, permitting safe travel, trade, marriage, and so forth throughout the region. The Zir is most intact in the north of Somalia, which was under British rule. In the south, the Italians tried to eradicate it. Nonetheless, it survives to a significant degree everywhere, even in the urban areas, and is virtually unaffected in rural Somalia. The Zir is the secret to the whole perplexing question of Somalia's success without a central government, since it provides an authentic rule of law to support trade and economic development. Fortunately, we know something about the Zir because of Michael van Noten, a Dutch lawyer who in the early 1990s married into the Samarin clan in the northwest of Somalia,
okay,
the fifth largest of the Somali clans, and lived with them for the last 12 years of his life. He took full advantage of that opportunity to research the Zir. The result was his pioneering study, The Law of the Somalis, published 2 years ago. Van Noten died when his manuscript was only half finished. Fortunately, he'd largely completed assembling the ethnographic material, and in his will, he asked that I, the author of this article, edit and complete the manuscript for publication. The task ahead is to see the work translated into Somali. There is time in this short talk to give you only some of the highlights of the Zir. First, law and consequently crime are defined in terms of property rights. The law is compensatory rather than punitive. Because property rights require compensation rather than punishment, there is no imprisonment, and fines are rare. Such fines might be imposed seldom, exceed the amount of compensation, and are not payable to any court or government, but directly to the victim. A fine might be in order when, for example, the killing of a camel was deliberate and premeditated, in which case the victim will receive not one, but two camels.
Okay, as opposed to accidentally killing a camel, then they would just get compensated a camel.
Probably, yeah.
That makes perfectly good sense to
right.
me.
Right, this is very sensible, and it's exactly what we talk about on this show that we would like to see happen here in America. Instead of having this, as he puts it, punitive system, where somebody does something wrong and they get locked up in a jail cell for X amount of days or years, and then they get let out, and the victim is still without his family member or without his window or without the property that was stolen or whatever it was that the crime was, the victim is never made whole, or very rarely. Very rarely in America do we have restitution. But that's what the Somalis have in their tribal system with the Zir. There's a little bit more that we'll share with you on the way. 800-259-9231. This is Free Talk Live.
There are many paths you can take in the pursuit of liberty. The fastest avenue to real political change is being paved by the Republican Liberty Caucus. Join Representatives Ron Paul, Jeff Flake, and dozens of state legislators in advancing the ideals of individual rights, limited government, and private enterprise within the GOP. The Republican Liberty Caucus, online at rlc.org. That's rlc.org. Your path to liberty.
Here's a good idea. When you have a legal matter like creating your will or legally setting up a business with a corporation or LLC, you don't necessarily need a law firm. Use LegalZoom.com. At LegalZoom.com, you answer straightforward questions online, and they take care of the rest. They even review your answers for common mistakes and guarantee your satisfaction. Free Talk Live listeners, you'll get 10% off your order by typing in FTL in the referral box at purchase. Don't procrastinate with these important legal documents. LegalZoom.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and the poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaceMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com. Call 702-953-0267.
Hi, this is Jeff Rentz, and if you're interested in suppressed natural cures and rare exotic remedies, this may be the most important message you'll hear for a long time. There's an opportunity right now for a limited number of listeners to acquire an amazing, blacklisted, naturally occurring compound with very unusual ionic properties. In fact, it's considered the single most important remedy in all of Ayurvedic medicine. Medical studies have been conducted abroad on the effects this rare mineral-like compound has on energy, diabetes, tumors, ulcers, memory, and brain function, not to mention reproductive health, exercise recovery, and arthritis. Because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made. However, it's still quite legal to own this compound. And the best part? My listeners pay nothing down. Simply go to blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Or call 815-259-4552. That's 815-259-4552 for details.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625 for BioSolutions.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live and it's your show. The toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231. SACL CAI toll-free line. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
800-259-9231. You can join us online at freetalklive.com where the features are for free. Though if you would like to voluntarily support Free Talk Live, we invite you to go shopping with us. You can buy Free Talk Live branded merchandise like t-shirts, hats, and hoodies and more all at store.freetalklive.com. That is store.freetalklive.com. You can buy anything else you might need to purchase in life at amazon.freetalklive.com, and we'll get a percentage of your purchase if you enter Amazon through that link. That's amazon.freetalklive.com. And finally, my house is still for sale. House.freetalklive.com. Mark gets to sell his phone at auction.freetalklive.com. I get to sell my house.
Well, the difference is in 4 days, my phone will be sold.
Right.
And your house?
Not so much.
Yeah, probably not in 4 days.
Yeah, the market sucks. It's a good time to buy a house, though, down in Sarasota, Florida. So if you...
I'll tell you what, it's underpriced.
You think so? I think so, too, but I haven't gotten very many offers on
it. It's just the people aren't buying in Sarasota, Florida.
Man.
They're waiting for the market to really bottom out.
Well, anyway, if you're looking to maybe move to Florida, looking for an excuse to live minutes away from the beach, house.freetalklive.com. All right, back to Somalia. Talking about Mises.org story, the rule of law without the state. How on earth, we are asked, I've been asked many times on this show, is, well, how would we get along without the government to run the courts and... that sort of thing. Police. Well, the Somalis have a few answers. It's called the ZIR. It's their system between their...
it's kind of like common law.
It's their customary law is what it's called. And it goes between the clans, and they all sort of agree on these things. And the system is based on property rights, which is a shocker, right? Because that's not really the way it is here. Here in America, you do something wrong, you harm somebody else, and they throw you in a jail cell. As though that solves the problem,
right?
Or
you
makes
steal
things
something
better.
You steal something from a store, and the store may never even get it back, but you'll go to jail. So
yeah.
The government benefits in all ways,
right? Here in America, you quote pay your debt to society, unquote. No. By stealing something from you, Mark, society did not incur a debt, or I did not incur a debt from society. I am in your debt because I destroyed your value. I took something that belonged to you, put it in my possession, and then went and sold it for crack money or whatever it is I did.
Mm-hmm.
That means I owe you a payback, not society. So we've got it all wrong here in America. And let's look to the ZIR to find some possible answers. Should we adopt this completely? Not necessarily. It's just interesting to learn about because they don't teach us in government school. So, again, it's problems there are treated as property rights issues. So if you steal something, you have to pay it back. And you have to pay a little restitution on top of that as well.
Well, you know, this is the way that common law has worked throughout the centuries, because
right.
incarcerating someone is an extraordinarily expensive thing to do.
Sure it is.
And somebody has to pay for it.
Not to mention it doesn't work that well.
We really didn't even do it in this country that much until the 20th century came about. The idea was, even in colonial times when they did use jails, it was to get somebody to repent from their sins and that kind of thing. I think that compensation really is the way to go.
Yep, that's where we need to go in this country for sure. Now, here's another interesting difference between here and America and Somalia. Over there, in the Zaire system, fines are used in a very interesting way. It's expected that a prominent public figure, such as a religious or political dignitary or policeman or judge, should leave an exemplary life. If he violates the law, he pays double what will be required of an ordinary person. Instead of over here where
right.
a cop does something wrong, then they just all close ranks and protect one another and
right.
no one ever
yeah.
has to pay
administrative
anything.
Leave.
Also, it should be noted, since the law and crime are defined in terms of property rights, the Zaire is unequivocal in its opposition to any form of taxation. Second, in order to assure that compensation will be forthcoming, even in cases where a perpetrator is a child or penniless or crazy or has fled abroad,
these were my questions.
The Zaire requires that every person be fully insured against any liability he might incur under the law. If an individual cannot make the required payment, a designated group of his kin is responsible. Van Noten describes it in an interesting way how this happens. A person who violates someone's rights and is unable to pay the compensation himself notifies his family, who then will pay on his behalf. At that point, he'd presumably owe his family the debt. From an emotional point of view, this notification is a painful procedure, since no family member will miss the opportunity to tell the wrongdoer how vicious or stupid he was. Also, they'll ask assurances that he be more careful in the future. Indeed, all those who must pay for the wrongdoings of a family member will thereafter keep an eye on him and try to intervene before he incurs another liability. They will no longer, for example, allow him to keep or bear a weapon. While on other continents, the re-education of criminals is typically a task of the government, in Somalia, it's the responsibility of the family.
And, you know, those are the people that are best suited to do it.
If the family tires of bailing out a repeat offender, they can disown him, in which case he then becomes an outlaw.
Mm.
Not being insured, he forfeits all protection under the law, and for his safety, should probably leave the country. Customary law is similar in this and many other respects throughout the world. An instance is told in the founding legend of my own clan, McCullum, in Scotland. The founder of the clan supposedly was exiled 1,500 years ago from Ireland because he was a hothead whom his family disowned for embroiling them in fights. In the loneliness of his exile on the North Sea, he became a man of peace. He couldn't return to Ireland, as he was no longer under protection of the law and could have been killed with impunity. So, he went instead to Scotland and founded our clan. A third point about the Zaire is that there is no monopoly of police or judicial services. Anyone is free to serve in those capacities, as long as he's not at the same time a religious or political dignitary, since that would compromise the sharp separation of law, politics, and religion there. Also, anyone performing in such a role is subject to the same laws as anyone else, and more so. If he violates the law, he must pay heavier damages or fines than would apply to anyone else. Public figures are expected to show exemplary conduct.
I would expect that, but we don't get that here in America.
Fourth, there is no victimless crime. Well, the reason why we don't is because of the government's monopoly over its services.
Mm.
There is no competitive force out there.
It's true.
Nothing to keep them in line. They all back each other up, and there's nothing we can do about it. Fourth, and most interestingly, there is no victimless crime in Somalia. Only a victim, or remember, they're based off of property rights.
Right. So only a victim could charge somebody with a crime.
Correct. Or his family can initiate court action. Where there's no victim to call a court into being, no court can form. No court can investigate on its own initiative any evidence of alleged misconduct.
Like in the case of child abuse or something like that, the family would be able to intervene if a father was beating the crap out of his wife or his children or
sure.
something like that.
Exactly right. So, I mean,
sounds like a pretty workable system.
Yeah, there's more here. Last, the court procedure is interesting. From birth, every Somali has his own judge who will sit on the court that will judge him should he transgress the law. That judge is his Ode, the head of his extended family consisting of all males descended from the same great-grandfather, together with their spouses and children. Several extended families make up a Jilib, which is the group responsible for paying the blood price in the event a member kills someone of another Jilib or clan. The Ode or judge is chosen carefully, following weeks or months of deliberation by elders of the clan. He has no authority over the family, but is chosen solely for his knowledge of human affairs and his wisdom, and he can lose his position if his decisions aren't highly regarded in the community. So, sort of similar to the idea of an arbitrator, where you get to choose your arbitrator based on his knowledge and decisions and his ability to mete out justice in the marketplace, where different arbitrators are competing on the basis of honesty, where they're competing on the basis of fairness, as opposed to the government one-size-fits-all judicial system we have today, where there is no need for competition. They don't have to compete.
I'm interested in this whole Somali setup as far as the government they have. I find it very interesting, and I hope that they get to take this out a little farther.
Without having another government imposed upon them?
Yeah, by the UN or the United States or whomever.
I hope so, too. And since we were talking about our lovely police, here's a quickie for you. From Miami. A North Miami sergeant and detective will be suspended for taking a $20 bottle of Moet champagne from the car of a murder victim to give to firefighters as a token of our appreciation. See, a crime scene technician who initially reported the bottle's disappearance was also suspended after she, too, admitted removing items from the car where Charles Jontov was found shot to death last year. The firefighters have been helping remove bullets that were lodged in the Impala. Sergeant Donna Clark received a 120-hour suspension. Detective Dwight Melvin will be suspended as well. Of course, they're not actually going to get in real trouble for this.
120 hours, 3 weeks.
The crime scene technician, whose internal affairs investigators say also gave inconsistent testimony, was suspended. Quote, they're good employees who wanted to show their appreciation for the hard work of the firefighters, said the North Miami police chief. But it was wrong, and they were disciplined. I don't think this type of behavior will happen again. That's right, it's all over and done with. See, what happened was this guy was found dead, they took his car, and then according to the press release, the champagne theft happened 4 days after the murder. As the firefighters helped extract bullets from the Impala, the bottle was just sitting in the back seat. So what happened was the cops went in there, took the bottle, and then gave it to the firefighters as a token of their appreciation. It wasn't their bottle to take, but they took it anyway, because they can usually get away with this stuff. It was the firefighters who ratted out the cops in this particular case.
Mm.
It has been Ian here with you.
And Mark,
we will see you tomorrow night. You can join us online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
George Phillies is the right candidate for president, a serious, well-educated candidate who stands for the basic principles of liberty and the basic principles of this nation. You know the old adage, if you keep doing the same thing, you will get the same results. The choice this election year is simple, more of the same or real change. For peace, prosperity, and liberty, go to www.phillies2008.org.
Paid for by Phillies 2008. This is George Phillies, libertarian for president. I approved of this message.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
How would